Hey y'all, this is Miranda Lambert, wishing you a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Miranda.
Miranda Lambert.
Thank you, girl. Love you, long time. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to hour two of Jason and Alexis in the morning. That's right, we're doing another hour. I know, audience, I can't believe it either. I'm Jace. Lex is off. She's with her people. Not like her alien family. She's
maybe. You don't know. I mean, she is. She went to the planet Krafton, remember?
That's right.
God. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Maybe she is. Maybe she went back up into the ship.
Yeah, and, she said she's celebrating her birthday and with her family, but is half of it that family?
Right, seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been investigating this for years.
Rocket Man, help us figure out where Lex is from.
That's right. We're gonna figure it out eventually.
Oh,
we certainly will. Mike's filling in. We're grateful. We're thankful. This time of year, we're thankful. And Dawn is here, moved into the cockpit. We're going to try to make your flight enjoyable. If you need anything, another biscotti cookie. If you need a Biscoff cookie, if you need some baby bottles of booze, please let us know.
Right. We got you. Gingy, maybe with some a little vodka in it. Ooh.
Maybe. Ugh, gross.
Come on.
Hey, let me give an advance shout out. Hold on a minute, Dawn. Let me find this.
Okay. Are you making more reservations at Disney right now?
I can at 8 o'clock. Oh. So I'll let you know how that goes. Because the 2 hour rule.
Okay.
You either have to wait until you go on the ride to make another one, or wait 120 minutes. So at 8 o'clock I can make a fourth reservation. Okay.
Right.
Delta Flight 481, service to Orlando. Hello, crew. Colin and I will be boarding your flight. Please make sure catering has enough vodka on board that aircraft. Thank
please
you.
Have a vodka soda with lime ready
yes.
for Jason.
And lemon for Colin.
Oh,
that's right.
Oh.
Delta Flight 481, nonstop service to Orlando today.
Oh, have my gosh. They know you.
Oh, God. We walk on board and they just start. That one flight attendant that day, Dawn, cracked me up. I told you, Colin and I, we got in. Mike, we walked in. And I thought it was a Minnesota-based crew. I can always kind of tell.
Because welcome to the flight.
Kinda. And I walk in and I'm like, okay, I got good vibes about this, Colin. We no more than put our butt in the seat and the flight attendant had drank. We turn around. Like, you know how you have to kind of crouch down, Mike? You're a tall guy.
No,
like,
no.
You have to kind of. So I turn around and boom, she was right there like the Babadook. Like, she just appeared out of nowhere.
God, the Babadook.
And she appeared out of nowhere with two drinks and a smile on her face. And I thought, you are a gift from God. You're like
she
the best
knew
flight
your
attendant.
Drink
she
order.
Knew it.
That's we, so cool.
We didn't even, Colin looked, he goes, this is going to be a great flight.
It is. Who cares about whatever's going on around you?
I brought this up for a reason. This leads perfectly into one of my favorite stories of the day. And it's a very Alexis Thompson-esque story. Dawn, tell the folks about this bag that TSA found.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So this was at JFK Airport in New York. Tuesday morning, an agent spotted some orange hair poking out of the zipper of a suitcase.
Oh, God.
TSA told the New York Post that the traveler was not aware that he had a cat in his luggage. A live cat. So the TSA spokesperson, Lisa Fobstein, said in a statement that the agent was shocked by the furry discovery in the luggage, which had been checked in and x-rayed.
Yes!
So this is a checked piece of luggage. It's not like it went through, the regular, you're going through, like your carry-on.
No!
This had been through the ringer. The cat and the, so the traveler said that the cat belonged to someone else in his household. And then they took a picture of it. You can see it in this page six.
It is the funniest picture, Dawn. Like, the cat's fine, everybody. The cat's fine. The cat's fine.
Yeah, the cat is fine. Yeah,
the cat's fine. Yeah.
But the, they have like a funny photo of an x-ray, but then they have the actual x-ray. And it is an orange cat, a ginger cat. It's very sneaky. But it is like, It's like, you know, you see the container, and then you see literally the outline of a cat. He's all curled up in there, got his mouth open, probably breathing heavy, trying to get a breath. Oh, my gosh.
I saw that x-ray picture, and I first read to see if the cat was okay. I don't laugh at animals in danger for the overly sensitive out there. The minute I found out, I re-looked at that x-ray photo, and I did LOL. Like, I truly did laugh out loud. I thought, oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah, so, this is what they tweeted, TSA. Okay. They said, we're letting the cat out of the bag on this...
No pun intended. Right.
On this historic find. The catch, with cat in all caps, had our baggage screening officers at JFK Airport saying, come on, meow. Feline, like you have travel questions, reach out to our fur friends at Ask TSA.
No.
They're available every day from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern time. So then the Post tracked down the kitty's owner and said that the cat's name is Smells.
No.
And must have called into their house guest bag while she was at work. And she didn't realize that this orange tabby was missing until she got a call from an airport official.
You know what this reminds me of, Dawn and Mike? And it's a perfect time of year. It reminds me of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation when the aunt wraps up the cat. And they realize she comes in, she's like the 90-year-old aunt, and she comes in and she brings in presents and she hands the presents to Clark. And Clark goes, there's a damn cat in here. She wrapped up the cat. Oh, anyway.
Oh, one of my God, favorite this is so fantastic. Movie. Now, they actually talked to the owner of the cat,
yeah.
A 37-year-old Brooklyn resident who they left out the name. And they asked if he wanted to press charges, because they were like, did she actually steal the cat? Because you can't just trust someone's word.
No.
And he's like, oh my God, no, this is my roommate, it was a mistake. She loves to crawl into small spaces, so
okay, that is fantastic.
They've given the cat an extra treats,
as they should. Well, give him some Nutrisource.
I mean, cats do have 9 lives. Going through an x-ray,
that's 12 right there, girl. She gets a couple extra.
Right.
Well, we're not done with interesting finds. A steamer trunk washes ashore. Dawn has that. And then I have an ab fab I am so excited to tell you about. And it's perfect. Get it? Perfect. For this holiday week when you're looking for something to watch. That and more as we roll on. Stay with us. Jason and Alexis in the morning right here on My Talk. Everything entertainment. Everything Mickey Mouse. I'm Jace. Lex is off. Dawn's here. Mike's here. Before we go any further, I just want to say happy birthday to my nephew, Carter.
Oh.
Carter, I talk about a lot on the show. He's the kid, and he's not a kid anymore. He just turned 18. Holy crap.
Oh, my gosh. Happy birthday, Carter.
I knew when I got into the family, Carter was 8. So I've literally watched this kid grow up.
Oh.
And Carter is the one that I always refer to. I joke. He doesn't really. I mean, he's woodsy, but he's the one that I always joke. He eats squirrels and possums and groundhogs and, you know,
yeah,
because he hunts he's just, and he's the kid we have. We have zero in common. Zero. You couldn't find two guys with less in common.
Right.
But I love that kid to the moon and back. I probably scare him at times. I probably freak him out, but I love him, and he's just the best, and he's a good kid. He was raised well by my sister-in-law, Tammy, and his dad, Taylor. Starts with good parents, and he was raised right. He's a good kid with a good head on his shoulders. But, well, sometimes he does need to cut his hair. It's a little long, but anyway, that just... But anyway, happy birthday, buddy. I love you, and have a great 18th. I have an ab fab for you that I think you are going to love.
Absolutely fabulous.
It is a documentary, and I know, keep your eye rolls quiet, but I really do mean this. I think this is for a vast majority of our audience. It's a new documentary on Disney Plus called The Story of a Mouse, and it is all about the evolution and the history of Mickey Mouse. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, God, Jace, here you go again. I hate Disney. I don't like Disney. How does this affect me? It does. And you are going to love this because it's about culture. It's about American culture. It's about world culture. And you're thinking, what? No. Here's a little bit of the trailer and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Three simple circles, a quarter and two dimes, probably the most universal symbol ever created by man or mouse.
Hi, Mickey. What is it about Mickey Mouse?
Mickey Mouse to me is light. There's like a lot of dark in the world and he's hope.
It's magical to be able to channel all of our hopes and dreams, the innocence that we eventually lose and would like back.
Never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
The story of Walt and Mickey wasn't just one continual success after success. It was stumble after stumble.
Mickey Mouse started in the roaring 20s, but almost immediately a depression fell.
You have groups saying, we want Mickey to help get us through World War II.
The American dream has suffered, but Mickey is able to bring that back.
Just like America split in the 60s, Mickey Mouse split as well. And those coexist in this one character. If you have an issue with authority, Mickey Mouse is your guy.
Mickey has taken the world by storm. This is something otherworldly.
It is so fascinating in this. It's not a fluff documentary, even though it's about a cartoon mouse.
Yeah.
You really see how the story of Mickey is woven through our history, especially the latter half of the 1920, most of the 20th century. It's interesting. The copyright's getting ready to expire because it's the 100-year mark. Yeah, Disney's fighting that. But anyway, that's a whole other Sally, Jesse, Raphael episode. A couple tidbits I wanted to pull out that I think you'll find fascinating for the sake of this conversation. You heard it in the trailer there. You know, Mickey, people think, oh, he probably was an instant success. No, Mickey had a lot. Mickey and Disney with Mickey had a lot of failures.
Okay.
And there's an era where Mickey was real interesting, and that's during World War II. I know a lot about Disney, but I didn't know a lot, some of these details. You know, Walt Disney turned over his entire studios to the government, basically. Walt was very patriotic and wanted to do everything he could to help the war effort. So the Disney animators turned into animators for the good of the country. They made propaganda animation. They made instructional shorts. They made war bond commercials, enticing the American public to buy war bonds.
Wow.
And the animators made emblems using Pluto, Donald, Mickey to rally the troops, to rally our men and women in uniform. And it was interesting. Mickey became quite literally the symbol of America, so much so that before the Emperor of Japan and Hitler were fans of Mickey Mouse. But then once World War II happened, they showed a rarely seen propaganda video from Japan showing Mickey shooting down, putting Mickey in a fighter jet.
Oh, my gosh.
And they show a comic book that a little boy in a concentration camp made of Mickey Mouse surviving in a camp.
And
they tell you the story of he used Mickey was his sign of hope. And he made a comic. He made a comic book. And you find out in this documentary that the boy, once the comic book was discovered and he was killed shortly after.
Oh.
Then it moves into post-World War II. And Mickey, like Walt, had drastically changed. And they made Mickey into a suburbanite. If you look at the Mickey Mouse shorts of the 50s,
mm-hmm.
Mickey moves to the suburbs and has a mortgage.
Oh, my gosh.
Like most of America, you know, that the great migration to the suburbs happened post-World War II. And then this is the last clip I'll show you. Let's fast forward to when you and I were kids, Dawn. And Mike, you might even remember this. But Dawn, you'll remember, you know, Mickey was kind of put in amber. That was described. I thought it was perfect. They really didn't want to touch Mickey Mouse because he was representative of the corporate entity that they were really afraid to do anything with Mickey. Because if they put Mickey in a project that failed, it would be emblematic of the company at large. So other than Mickey's Christmas Carol in 83, 84, think about it, there wasn't really a lot of content with Mickey Mouse. He was just a corporate. He was a corporate shill. He sold things. So when we were growing up, Dom, think about it.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse was, there was a kind of a negative connotation with Mickey because he represented corporate greed and he represented like selling you something, and there was a backlash. The Simpsons made fun of it. And then my boy Bob Iger comes in, and here's Bob talking about the realization that they needed to kind of rescue Mickey within the last 7 years. Take a listen to Bob.
I think we confused people so that in 2005, when you asked people who Mickey Mouse was, they typically would say he's a corporate symbol of the Walt Disney Company. I'm not sure people really knew who Mickey was or what Mickey was, because Mickey had been so many different things and not necessarily all good.
What's that?
And they show the commercialization of Mickey as just a figurehead. So Bob initiated what they call the bake-off with all the creatives at Disney Dawn. They said, if you are a creative, we invite you to create what Mickey should be now.
Mm.
Who is Mickey Mouse? And all of the animators, all of the creative producers at Disney were invited to create what they view as a new Mickey. What should Mickey be? And they had a bake-off. And the new Mickey is what your kids, if you're watching, if you're listening to this, all of the new Mickey shorts on Disney Plus, I know Zen watches some of them, and the Mickey Dawn in the new ride, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway at Disney, that is the new Mickey.
Okay.
And that won out. And now Mickey is a character again. Like, kids know that he's spunky and he's a little mischievous. And that was absent for so many years. Anyway, it's fascinating. I haven't even touched on other things. You'll love it.
This sounds amazing. What's it called?
The Story of a Mouse.
The Story of a Mouse on Disney Plus.
And it's really the story of American culture.
Wow.
And it's interesting. It's an hour and 20. It's a good watch for the whole family this weekend.
I love history and anything to do with World War II. I'm kind of really into that.
Then you'll love this.
Seems weird, but.
And you like Mickey, so there we go. When we come back, again, Disney Plus, everybody. When we come back, Am I the Asshat? Part one. Happy day before Thanksgiving. Please be safe out there tonight. It is a busy bar night.
Oh, yeah.
So please drink responsibly.
Get an Uber.
It's not worth it. Please drink safely. But have a great time, everybody. Have a really good time. This is Jason and Alexis in the morning. My buddy Alexis is off for the week, spending some time with her family. I'm sure right about now she's still in her PJs.
Oh.
And being a sous chef to her mom.
Didn't she say she was going to stay in them like all week?
All week. Yeah, she's
so
not going to put
fantastic.
Clothes on.
Fantastic. God.
That's fantastic. She deserves it. It's time for Am I the Asshat Part 1.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, Walter. You're just an ass.
Am I wrong?
Am I the asshat?
Part one. What do we have, Don?
Okay. Am I the asshat for calling the cops and causing him to be taken in for taking my car key and using it while I was sleeping?
What?
Right. Okay. That's a bad title.
Curious.
Bad title. It says, so I've been seeing this guy, a 30-year-old male, Kevin, for several months now. We'd visit each other weekly, and last week he spent the night with me. Next morning, I woke up at 9 a.m. and couldn't find him nor my car. I searched for my car key that was at the bottom drawer in my son's room. And then parentheses, I usually hide it in there and no one knows about this secret place. But I couldn't find it. I freaked out and tried calling Kevin, but his phone was dead. So I ended up calling the police after waiting for like 10 minutes. What? Shortly after, I discovered that Kevin was found with my car at the supermarket parking lot. He was taken in by authorities and the car was returned. He was fuming at me, saying I should not have called the cops because he took the car to go buy us breakfast. In my defense, I said he never asked for my permission and I never gave him the okay to drive it. He argued that he thought I wouldn't mind, much less escalate to calling the cops after he'd done a nice thing for me and my son. He said he never had issues with cops, but because of me now, They thought he was a thief. We haven't talked since then. His brother keeps berating me, saying I messed up and acted stupidly. Am I the asshat for freaking out and calling the cops? And then it says, I didn't even know how he got the key.
Yeah, because...
Okay, remember, she hides her car keys down in a drawer in her son's room. So is she the asshat for calling the cops?
651-641-1071. 651-641-1071. Call Mike. What was the time that passed on? How long did she think? Did they say? How long the car was gone?
Well, she doesn't know how long he had the car, but she woke up at 9 a.m. and couldn't find him or the car. So she tried calling Kevin, and then his phone was dead. So then she, after 10 minutes where she couldn't reach him, she called the police. So...
I think it's a matter of how well they know each other.
Right. So she'd been seeing him for several months.
Oh, then I think she overreacted a little bit. If it had been like maybe a second date, like a hookup date.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, God. And you have a kid and you're bringing this person.
Exactly.
Like, oh, God. I don't. That's not my stamp of approval. But yeah, this is weird. I didn't know because several it was months. So confusing. I kind of didn't. I wanted to bring it up because of the fact that he knew where the key was. That's the part that makes me go, something's up with Kevin.
He's a creeper?
Something is up with Kevin.
Well, there's something up with Kevin that's not being explored in this post.
Right.
Because how does he know what's in her son, her kid's dresser?
Yeah. Right. So she hides her car keys. That's also weird.
Okay, I was just going to say, then there's part two of, why are you hiding car keys in your kid's dresser?
I don't get that. But
okay, let's go to the phone lines.
Weird.
Who do we have, Don? Should we go to Mike?
I think he's...
go with Alex.
Let's go to Alex. Hi, Alex. Welcome to the show. Is she the asshat?
I mean, okay. A part of me is leaning towards yes, because I feel like if it's her partner, she should probably assume positive intent first. But I do think it's questionable that he knew where the hidden key was.
See, I think that's the horse of a different color.
That's weird.
Yeah. Have you been in those drawers? Like, why are you digging?
Did he watch her put the key?
The laundry away once? I don't know.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. And she swears that she never told him, Dawn. You get that impression from the post?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's odd. That's just, it's hella weird. Thank you, Alex.
Yep.
Thank you. Mike, let's go to Mary on line three. Hi, Mary. Welcome to the show. Is she the asshat?
Howdy.
Okay.
Good morning.
It's really weird to hide car keys in your son's drawer. Usually you're hiding your keys away from your kids.
Yep.
So that's number one. And number two, if you're going to take somebody's car and go out and do something nice, like buy muffins or whatever, leave a note on the front door saying, hi, Susie Q, I just, you know, I grabbed your keys. I will be back in 10 minutes. I ran to the store.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Susie Q.
Yeah, hey, Susie
girl.
Q.
Hey, girl, I'm getting some Egg McMuffins.
Right?
Yeah. I'll be right back.
The whole thing is just weird.
I know. It is weird.
It's very odd. Thank you, Mary. Happy Thanksgiving, girl.
Okay,
happy
bye.
Thanksgiving. Bye. She was like wanting to get off the phone there.
No.
Let's give Julie the last word. Hi, Julie. Welcome to our show. Is she the asshat?
Guys. I love you.
I love you.
I agree with everybody else, and I really think there's a lot that we have to read between the lines.
Right.
Yeah.
Way too much.
The more we talk to you, the listeners, and more I think about this, I think my number one thing is, if you're going to hide keys, why are you doing it in the drawer of your kid's bedroom?
Yeah, and why do you call the cops 10 minutes after? And if your boyfriend's gone and your car's gone, it's just weird.
It's weird all the way around.
I don't even know what to say for this one.
No. Julie, thank you. Have a great Thanksgiving.
All right, bye.
Mike, what do you think, buddy?
The only thing that's strange is this the first time he's ever loaned the car and taken it somewhere?
It doesn't say.
That's the part that I want to have answered, because it is a little weird if you've been with somebody for months, and sure, you maybe watched her go to the kid's drawer to grab the keys or whatever, but just randomly one morning, for the first time ever, you decide to just take her car. Now, the 10-minute, call the cops immediately, that's a little strange, but if you've been with someone for those many months and he felt like he had the ability to go do something nice like this, it seems odd to me that this would be the first time he did it. Like, I feel like he would have loaned it before.
I'm trying to put myself in the position of, okay, I've known Colin for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn, you've known MC for a few months. Let's put us back in that frame of mind.
Okay, yeah.
We wake up one morning and our car is gone. They spend the night. Would you call the cops?
No, I wouldn't call the cops.
I wouldn't either. I'm thinking about, I trusted Colin right away.
I'd probably wait a whole day.
Would you wait?
I would wait until the sun went down then and be like, something's weird.
Well, I would wait. Look, I will tell you, I would probably wait an hour or two. Maybe 2 hours, because I'd be like, okay, bitch, where are you?
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
But it wouldn't be 10 minutes.
It says, I usually hide it in there and no one knows about this secret place. So if I was going to take someone's car, let's say Kevin is the asshat here, I wouldn't take it, because if you know she's hiding, like if you saw her hide it, wouldn't you question and go, hey, why do you do that?
Yeah.
But I definitely wouldn't dig it out of a hidden place and go, hey, I mean, breakfast isn't as important as potentially being creepy.
Last word, interesting word from Brian that just emailed the show. Why wasn't he answering the phone? Something is sketchy.
His phone was dead? Yeah, he's weird.
Yeah, your phone is dead? How very convenient.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what serial killers say. Anyway, we're not done. We have another scenario coming up, so don't get out of your car. Stay right there. And if you're leaving right now to surprise someone to get some food, leave them a note. Thank you. We'll be right back.